Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
Now by the outstanding basketball coach at Bucknell, John Griffin. Griff, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How you doing? Outstanding is quite the compliment that is not deserved right now. We're just regular John, people over here in Lewisburg.
Yeah, I got it. But you know what? I look at you and I see a lot. So that's just me.
I appreciate it.
You get a split last week, and it's one of those tough splits because you lose the loss was in overtime. So in that game against American, you're down 14 with about 16 and a half to play. What did your team then show you to then not only get back but actually take a lead late in the game? Because that's the toughest part, is getting over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, it shows that they have the attitude that we're, you know, honestly building towards every day. So we try not to be a result-driven group. We talk about the idea of being a process-oriented group pretty regularly. And American is playing good basketball right now. So we knew the game was going to be a tough one. And the group is building a competitiveness internally that, you know, I really don't have to tap into throughout the course of a game. They just keep kind of playing. We had a couple good sequences defensively that led to opportunities for us offensively. And today's world of college basketball, it's not uncommon to see 8-0 runs, 7-0 runs, 10-0 runs. And quite frankly, actually, as it relates to the idea of runs, there's enough statistical evidence right now that's being studied in the world of college basketball. Let's say, like, the best teams in the country have the most 10-0 8-0 runs, and so we just stuck with it, kept competing, and it was nice to see that for our group internally, that it doesn't need to be something that the coaches preach for us to kind of get back into a game like that. They just took every possession for what it was worth, and we got back in the game.
Always an issue in any game, and we talk about this in our broadcast all the time, the ability to win the two lines. Three-point line, free throw line. In this game, you were minus 18, I think, at the three-point line. How important is that in your mindset? I know everyone talks analytics all the time, but how important is that in your mindset to win the two lines and what it can mean to success?
Well, yeah, the number that hurt us probably more than that, honestly, was the free throws.
Yep.
You know, we typically are a good free throw shooting team. We missed one to take the lead with 9 seconds, and we missed a couple leading up to that particular free throw that typically we make. You know, Jack Forrest is one of the best free throw shooters in our conference, and he missed three. And so those add up, and, you know, you lose a game in overtime, and you look at the result, you look at the end number, but there's a reason that the score in our differential in our case was 9. There's a reason it got to 9. And so you know, our two-point percentage defense actually was really good on Saturday. And American offensively, along with Colgate, but their two-point percentage offense is the best in our league, around 57%, which is extraordinarily high. And we held them to 38%, which is extraordinarily low, which allowed us to get back into the game. So, you know, it is the great debate. What's more important? Is it the three-point line? I mean, I think the three-point line can certainly save you in some instances if you make 14. But at the same time, there's enough data that says two-point percentage has incredible value as well. And for us, really, it was more about our free throws.
Right.
We needed to win that line to win the game.
Right. But there's another element to the two-point part. If I'm scoring within 5 to 10 feet of the basket, okay, my two-point number is going to go up. I've always felt that in this era, one of the keys is, can I get you to take the two-point shot I want you to take, which is that, you know, 17 to 20-foot two? For the most part, because, I mean, look, you're a 6-4 Patriot League team right now. I mean, you're right in the thick of it. You're right in the thick of it. So are you getting them to take more of the shots you want them to take as time goes?
Yeah, we are. We are. I think we've changed some things schematically where we're shifting our defenses from man-to-man to zone, and we're being a little disruptive in that regard. And so when you do that, typically at this point in the year, you're the end result is your opponent thinks a little bit more on the offensive end, which in that small window of thinking, the shot clock does run down, and it forces opponents to take shots they don't typically maybe prepare for offensively. And so for us, yeah, we're trying to keep the ball out of the paint as much as we possibly can. And really, we're looking for a result that is more about the type of shots, kind of what you're talking about. Nothing near the rim, three-pointers. If they're a three-pointer, maybe off the dribble instead of a catch-and-shoot, not a what in our world we call an inside-out three where it touches the paint near the rim, and then it gets kicked out to the perimeter. And at that point, the shooter's chest and shoulders and eyes are facing the rim, so it's a much higher percentage three-point shot. We're trying to avoid giving those up. And for the most part, I think we're doing a pretty decent job of that.
Noah Williamson had a career-high 28 in your win over Loyola, then came up back with another 20-point game. What are you seeing from him right now?
I mean, I'm just seeing a guy that's every opportunity that he gets to play, I'm seeing a more confident individual day by day. And, you know, he's just at the beginning stages of what he ultimately can be. He's got so much natural talent. We're tapping into that every opportunity that we can. But his confidence is growing, his comfort with physicality is growing, and he's just a really highly skilled seven-footer. I mean, really highly skilled seven-footer. Yeah. He's hitting threes. He's going off the dribble. You know, for the most part, he's making his free throws, and we just got to keep building on that and keep helping him grow as an individual offensive talent.
How important within your offense happen to be paint touches? And are you getting enough of them as you play?
Yeah, I mean, that's really important for us, for our success, because we do have enough three-point shooters that we can really keep the floor spaced, which is an advantage for us. It keeps the defense closer to our perimeter players. So we're going to have to do a better job. I didn't think we did a great job, honestly, Steve, on Saturday of getting to the paint enough in the first 20 minutes, which when you don't get to the paint, your offense can look stagnant. Because it goes very east and west, and in football terms, you want to get downhill.
Right.
You know, we look at the basket as the end zone. So when you're in the red zone, you got to get downhill. You got to smash mouth football, for lack of a better phrase there, and that's what we're trying to do as well.
Yeah, Navy, second time through, able to win the first time through. But out of every game, there are corrections. Out of the Navy game, thinking back on that, what would you like to correct, especially going on the road?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to clean up our rebounding. They're like all military academies. They're very physical. Culturally, they play very hard. And they only have kind of one speed, and it's the foot on the gas. And so we're going to have to do a much better job on the weak side rebounding and limiting them to one shot. They have a really high-level point guard who is explosive, fearless, and as I just said, really enjoys contact, which makes him pretty difficult to defend because it puts the game in the official's hands if you don't kind of approach him, you know, correctly. You know, officiating's tough these days. There's a lot of changes that happen yearly. So a player like this particular point guard, it's hard to defend. So we're going to have to rebound well, and we're going to have to do a much better job of not fouling.
And that's important because style of play means so much. Have your players done a good job for the most part of, because usually you can tell in the first 5 to 6 minutes, at least I can, how the game probably is going to be called that night. And you probably have the same feel, John. I mean, how important is it for the player? Yeah. Have they been able to adjust to that?
A little bit. I think what makes it tough is we have some bigger athletic bodies. Jack Farson is a great example. He's come from the Atlantic 10. He transferred to Bucknell. Yeah. And in the Atlantic 10, you have to have a physical ability. Like, you know, to the extent, you know, Big 10 sort of, and I kind of use Big 10 as a reference because you see it so much. But you have to have a physicality about you. And I think there's at times where that physicality works against us because he can absorb contact maybe differently than the average Major League player. And so for us, we're trying to find that balance in recognizing what's a foul versus what isn't going to be a foul, and that sometimes takes 20 minutes to discern. And then, you know, it's a tough balance.
It is, because what happens, at least to me, now you tell me if I'm wrong about this, is that if a guy has a reputation of the ability to absorb contact, they don't give him the same leeway as the guy that can't. That's what I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there is body types that absorb physicality differently. So
yes.
You constantly see it in the NBA levels where a LeBron James is going to absorb contact differently than Steph Curry. Now, that doesn't mean it's not a foul.
Right, exactly.
A foul is a foul. So I think sometimes absorbing the contact without any maybe disadvantage ultimately gives a disadvantage to the more physical player.
All right, so this will be a tougher question maybe to answer, but it's about officiating. You've moved that chair over where you're now in the head coaching spot. How have you felt like you have dealt with officials since you're the one that actually has to do it now as opposed to the other chair?
Ah, that's a tough one. I mean,
that's a tough question. I know it is.
The reason I say it's tough, I'm a Philly guy, you know, so I, like all Philadelphians, wear our hearts on our sleeve, you know, we're an emotional bunch. So I think that I'm trying to be fair. If there's anything that I can say is I recognize that being an official is a tough job right now due to, you know, social media and constant evaluations publicly. What's the correct call? I mean, you watch an NFL football game right now. They're going to Gene pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it so tough.
Yeah. Just thought I'd throw it in there. Sometimes that one chair.
Yeah.
It's a difficult question. You handled it perfectly. John,
yeah.
Thanks so much. Hey, good luck down in Annapolis. Then you got a home game with BU this weekend, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck. Thanks so much for the great conversation.